Welcome to Center Friends on this beautiful sunny day, spring day. We're finally made it to spring, so we've got some good weather coming. We are going to begin our worship service today by singing hymn 639, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. So much for filling our hearts with your love and your kindness and compassion and just giving us such joy and such reason to be happy and to celebrate you. Thank you for each and every person here today, Lord, and that you fill their hearts too. And please just fill our minds as we go through this meeting today, Lord, to hear your words and your guidance. And please be with us this whole week and let us always feel you right there beside us. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Before we get into announcements, I just have to say welcome to Wonder Woman Susie back here. She is a true wonder, so welcome, Susie. We're glad to see you. Are there any other announcements? Don't forget about next Sunday's Youth Sunday. I think everybody's really excited about that. It's going to be a great time for our youth to show some leadership and to just give us a great worship service together. So please try to plan to be here to support all our youth next Sunday. And there will be a carry-in meal afterwards. So please plan to bring something and stay and eat and just have fellowship with each other. Are there any other announcements?
Community breakfast next Saturday morning. Tula, I got reservations for 5 dozen fried apple pies right now. Got them in my pocket. Put them down. George wants one. Jerry Dan Moore wants 3, and I want 1. That's 5. We have a community breakfast next Saturday morning, 7 to 10. Please come and enjoy and partake. It's a fundraiser for Quaker Men to do our projects throughout the community, and we expect to see you.
Come hungry and pass the word on. So good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Center Friends. I want to tap on some more announcements. I had the wonderful pleasure of working with the youth this morning about Youth Sunday. And I'm going to tell you right now, I am excited. Not because I don't have to preach or do prayer requests or announcements or any of that nature, any of that stuff, but the fact that they are excited about doing it. I don't know that you can find that in a lot of places, that the young people want to stand in front of a bunch of people and deliver God's message. What a blessing. And I'm going to tell you right now, they've got it ready to go. And they're just seeing, you know, how hard it can be. You can come here every Sunday, and you can go through the same order of worship, but when you stand on this side, you don't realize that all that stuff happens. You realize, oh, no, I forgot to pray, or I forgot to do that. So be in prayer for them as they are discerning what God wants them to do and what they're going to be doing for Center Friends. And it's just going to be an exciting time. And I really do think that you need to invite your friends, your neighbors, and just let them come and experience something that probably not a lot of churches do, where we turn over the entire service to the young people. Because when we're gone, they're the ones that will continue Center. So we need to make sure that we lift them up and we encourage them. Don't forget, FEMAP collection is next Sunday, and that will be foot powder and deodorant. So make sure you stock up at the Dollar General, at the Dollar Tree, and they'll be collecting that next Sunday for FEMAP. Any other announcements? Quaker Men tomorrow night at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Anything else? If not, will our ushers come forward, please? Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning with open hearts. We come to you with uplifted spirits. We come to you with thankful souls and thankful bodies. Well, we know that you bless us in so many ways, and we're so thankful that you allow us to be blessed and that we worship you for those blessings. We ask that you touch these givings today, that you direct us on how to use them, that you direct our hearts, our bodies, our hands, and our feet so that we can go out and share the message of the gospel through your message and through your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. eyes. Sometimes that doesn't always mean you're quite ready to hit the floor running. Well, what holiday or special day is coming up soon? Yes, Easter. Easter's coming up in just a bit, about a month away. And we'll start to see, if you haven't already started doing things in your classrooms, in your preschools or your school, elementary, middle schools, you'll start to see things in classrooms. You'll see bulletin boards change. You'll start to make cute Easter crafts to bring home and those kinds of things. What are some things that you think about when you think about Easter? Yes? Easter, the Easter Bunny, right? The Easter Bunny. What else? Does anybody go shopping? Or do your parents go shopping for you some new clothes? Sometimes everybody has an Easter dress or Easter outfit, Easter, new Easter shirt, or a little tie, something. Nobody does that anymore? Yeah, I see some heads nodding now. You should have been around when I was your age. You got a hat and gloves and a purse and a pocketbook. I mean, purse and leotards or stockings and shoes and, you know, we really do that. Some of you may do that this time, too. Okay, what else? Can you think of anything else you see at Easter time? How about bunnies? Lambs? Do you know what those things represent and why we have those things around Easter? Yes, ma'am. The rebirth, the newness, the it's springtime, and we think about rebirth. That's exactly right. And we think about the resurrection of Jesus. Things that other things that we see crosses. We see particular flowers that bloom. And I brought a flower. This is not a particular flower that has an Easter story that I know of, but this is one of my favorite flowers. You have some of these, do you? This is one of the first flowers you'll see that's as showy as it is. It's tall. The other one is the little crocus. I'm not sure if you are familiar with that plant, but it's really close to the ground. Yeah, they're harder to see. But I like these because it's like they just pop right up, and just like in 2 or 3 days, they're showing their faces. And some of them are white. Some of them are all yellow. This is a pot that I bought just for myself because I thought I need these for my back porch just so that it's something that's cheery and bright and that I see. But do you know what this came from? What? What? An onion. Not quite, but you're on the right path.
A hot dog?
Well, how about this picture right here? I forgot to see if I could get a bulb from my mom's house. I'm sure she has some bulbs in the greenhouse, but I had to get a picture. Lots of layers of kind of thin, thinner than paper texture to it. And it's real hard in the middle. And you just put this in the ground, put some dirt over it, and then eventually this is what happens. This little green shoot starts coming up out of it. Usually plant these in the fall of the year, or you do plant these in the fall, like you do tulips. You're probably familiar with tulips. And then in the spring, this is what you have. So you come from something that's kind of ugly and brown, dead. Then comes this. Okay? Kind of like the story of the butterfly. Kind of reminds me of that too. A butterfly has to go away as a caterpillar. The butterfly would probably eat some of these, probably eat the leaves, wouldn't it? The caterpillar. Caterpillar goes away, comes the cocoon, then pops out a beautiful butterfly, kind of like this bulb and this flower. What? The cocoon is when the caterpillar goes away and attaches itself usually to a stick or a tree, and it wraps itself in something that's kind of like a shell, and then it stays there for a while until it's ready to pop out as a butterfly. I hope that was good. Let's look in 1 Peter. I want to read you a verse about rebirth, which is like what happens with flower bulbs that look like this that you put in the ground, and when they're rebirthed, they look like pretty daffodil flowers. In 1 Peter, which is not the right place, 1 Peter verse 23. On this page. And the Bible says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." So as you get older and you study more, some of you study more in Sunday school and listen in worship, you'll learn about what it means to be born again, what it means to give your heart to Jesus, and that you are born again at that time, and that it's very much represented like the bulb and the flower. Okay? Can we say a prayer together? Father, thank you so much for each youngster that is here today. I just pray that you would bless their lives, that you would protect them and keep them safe in the coming week. And Lord, I also pray for those that are participating in our Youth Sunday next Sunday. Just give them the calmness, the peace that they need as they prepare and as they bring forth messages to us next week, and in whatever role that they might be playing in the service. Lord, I just pray for the families that these children represent, that you would bless them as well, and if it's your will, that you would allow all of us to come together again to worship together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Martha Jo got the hard question. Can you explain metamorphosis to me, please? Whew, better you than me, because I would have froze.
Don't be a science teacher. Otherwise, educator.
We will go into our time of prayer and praise. Has God done anything good for you this week? Start out with something good. Do what? Amen. Gave us some good weather. That's right. God's always with us. That's good every day. It's good every day. Any prayer requests that we need to mention?
If you'll see my brother Tom in your thoughts and prayers on Monday morning, he has a biopsy to find out what type of cancer he has, so we can make a plan on Thursday. So just keep him in your prayers.
All right, that's Sandy's brother Tom will be undergoing some testing to determine what type of cancer he has. I have a note I would like to read from Artie and Valley Chilton. It's a card that they sent. It says, "Dear Center friends, I can't begin to tell you how much your prayers, cards, and visits have encouraged and helped both Artie and I through the last year, but especially through this last month. God has used you in miraculous ways, and we are so grateful for your service to Christ as you have ministered to our spirits. We love you and are so grateful for your prayers and friendship." And it says, "P.S. Artie continues to improve a little at the time, some days more than others. We have 6 to 8 weeks of therapy ahead of us, and we go back to Duke on April the 5th. Hopefully we can get back on track and kill the big C hovering in the background. Loving Christ, Artie and Valley." Artie had suffered a stroke, a pretty serious one, but has rebounded quite well considering the massive damage that he had. He's doing very well. And I will also echo Katie's remarks about Susie being here. I talked with Susie the other day, and she said she had a cane just in case. So don't make her mad. She has a stick. So, but it is good to have her back. Any others? I ask that you pray for me tonight. I'll be delivering a message at the Forbush Friends Revival tonight at 7. So that's about an hour away. That's for travel mercies, and also that God will use me in a way to minister to someone there. At least one can hear a message that may not have heard it before. So I ask for that prayer. If not, let's go together in corporate prayer. Father God, we love you. We absolutely love you. We worship you. We worship your presence in our lives. You talk with us. You walk with us. You run with us. You cheer with us and you cry with us. And for that, we are so thankful that we are never alone. You know the needs in this meeting. You know the needs in our community, in our families. You know the needs in our world. Place your hand on them. Touch each one of us. Remove the coverings from our eyes. Remove the darkness that surrounds us. Let our light, given by you, shine and drive away all darkness that whispers to us, that gives us doubt. Whether it be emotional, physical, mental, financial, medical, you know it. We place it at the foot of the cross. We are so blessed. We are honored to call you our Father. You've heard the requests. You know what's on their hearts. Lord, as we go through this worship service, continue to bless this service. Continue to have your Holy Spirit swirling around us so that the message here is a message you have ordained. We're just in such gratitude. Your power and your wisdom rule over us every day. Help us recognize that we are not self-sufficient in ourselves. We have to rely on you, no matter the circumstances. We just thank you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Some of you may have seen it. Before I get into the message, Caroline, Elizabeth and I have been looking at each other throughout the service. She is going to be our facing elder next Sunday. And so I asked her to take notes because she was wondering the order of worship and that sort of thing. And so as things are happening, she'll look over at me and I'll look at her. So it's kind of a communication. She's back there taking notes on making sure that she gets everything right. And then I felt the need to embarrass you. One prayer request that I did forget to mention, and I wanted to update you on, is Caroline Heiss. She is doing quite well. She had surgery on her sinuses. They were able to remove the blockages and polyps and things, and so she's recovering from that. We went over and took dinner to them after they got back from Duke, and she was just kind of hanging out. And then some family came in this weekend, and there's some pictures on Facebook of her just grinning from ear to ear because she had her brother and her sister with her, and the dog. And don't know how much of that's a medicated-induced smile, but either way, she's doing very well, and I know Sharon is very thankful for all the prayers and blessings that she's received from Center. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to get straight into it. Go to the letter of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to look at a passage that ends with a very popular verse. And it's been used in different situations. And we're going to talk about that a little bit and really dive down into it today. I don't have a lot of funny stuff for you. I have mostly the word. And so we're going to be into it this morning. So what Philippians is, well, I'll read the passage first. Philippians 4, verse 10 through 13. And it says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Amen. Well, that is Paul's letter to the Christians in Philippi. He wrote that while he was in prison. And he was in prison for 3 years. And he wrote a myriad of letters, and we have some in the New Testament that make up the book. It's called the Pauline Letters. In this letter, he's telling the church in Philippi that he's grateful for their help and concern for them. And that's what the law of the letter is about. And the church in Philippi had supported Paul's ministry through the sending of a church member. And I'm going to try to say this name. Epaphroditus was the name. And that was a church member who delivered financial support and other goods to Paul during his ministry and actually visiting him in prison. And Paul's ministry life was an interesting one. He was first commissioned by Christ to be his disciple, and we know where that conversion occurred. It was on the road to Damascus. Saul, upon conversion, became Paul when he finally saw Jesus Christ. But I want to go through Paul's trials with you. And many of them come from 2 Corinthians, a letter he wrote to the church in Corinth. 5 different times he received 39 lashes. Or as the King James Version says, 40 minus 1. That's 195 total lashes over the course of his life. 3 different times he was beaten with rods. And if you remember when I talked about rods and staff in Psalm 23, that is the club to protect the sheep. That was a weapon. He was stoned once. He was shipwrecked 3 times and spent a day and a night just in open sea by himself. Constantly moving, had the dangers of rivers and bandits, his own countrymen and Gentiles. I mean, he was a minister of the gospel, so therefore they needed to kill him. Being in danger in the city and in the country, being in danger with false brothers who came to him and said, "I love you," and stabbed him in the back. False friends. Gone without sleep. Had to work. Known hunger and thirst and hot and cold and being naked and unclothed. And then he faced the pressure that all pastors feel, and that's the concern for the churches. Now, Paul mentions something very important in this passage. He says, "I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances." Paul found contentment. He explains he knows what it's like to be in need and to not have to need anything. He knows what it's like to be hungry and to be full. He knows what it's like to live with plenty and have nothing. He reveals that he discovered the secret to contentment. "I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances, and I have learned the secret," he says. He can do all things through him, capital H, who strengthens him and gives him strength. He can do all things through Christ, as we know it, who gives him strength. Now, to get the full understanding of the passage, we have to look at its entire context. You can't just take the last verse and make it fit. He was in prison because he followed Christ. He was in prison because he loved Jesus. He was in prison because he spread the message across a Jewish and Gentile nation. Paul endured all those trials I just read off. He experienced a wide variety of conditions and circumstances and challenges, from being starving and cold. He was hated, much like our Jesus. He said he knew what it was like to be like Christ and to be hated by people. His ministry was laced with adversity and oppression and dissent, all because of one man. Now, he could have easily quit. He could have easily gone back to being Saul, who was looking for the followers of Jesus to kill them. He was a disciple hunter, for lack of a better term, when he was Saul. But if you remember, he was made blind on the road to Damascus. And then that blindness was removed, and he could really see. He didn't give up on the ministry. He did not give up on God. He did not give up on the one who brought him through all his trials. He did not give up on the message from Jesus, on the moving of the Holy Spirit. Instead, he wrote letters while in prison to the churches he cared about. Imprisoned, beaten, tired, and yet he still cared. But he found the answer. What a powerful answer he found was in the source of his endurance. So let me ask you, like I always do, I have a thought-provoking question. Are you content in your life? Yeah, I'd say probably most of us would say, yeah, for the most part. I mean, we have food. Most of us aren't going to go hungry. If so, I know some folks here that would be more than happy to throw something together with a lot of butter. We're not going to go unclothed. We have electricity. We have heat. We have air conditioning in a few months. Praise the Lord. We have financial support. We have friends. There's a whole room full right here. Hey, but the most important, we've got cell phones. We've got television. Contentment is the feeling of satisfaction with one's possessions, status, or situation. So let me ask you this. Are you content with your life in comparison to Paul's? Heck yeah. I'm overjoyed with my life compared to Paul's. You ever faced any trials like Paul? Anyone ever been lashed or stoned? Beaten with a rod? Some may say that they had to go cut a switch. Not quite a rod. Have you ever been imprisoned for being a Christian and loving Jesus? Maybe not physically. Maybe you've been imprisoned socially. Probably no one here has experienced the stuff that Paul went through. But what about trials that we have in our lives? We got some. First one that comes to mind is not having any cell service or no Wi-Fi. That's a big trial for some people, especially our young folks. They don't have a place they can get Wi-Fi. What? And they're about to run up on their data. What? That's a big trial. Maybe we have to pay full price for a meal because our coupon has expired. What? Or maybe we missed that sale by 30 minutes. What about eating too much? Oh, there's a trial. Eat too much and you feel sick afterwards? Or you have to endure heartburn? That's the worst. What about the trial of having to pay taxes? Amen. Because you're used to getting a refund and now the government says, I don't think so, Jack. Those aren't trials. Those are first world problems. Those are speed bumps in the track of life. What about real issues we face? Some real trials we face, I would say, are similar to Paul's in our world today. Maybe someone here, someone you know, is experiencing hunger, experiencing cold, nakedness, thirst. Maybe someone here you know is facing a health crisis or a mental crisis or a family issue. Here's a good one. Maybe somebody here is being stepped on because we said we love Jesus and they laughed at us. Maybe a young person's here today because they said, I want to pray, and they look at you and say, what? Look at that weirdo. Jesus teaches us to love our enemies, and yet our enemies do the complete opposite to us. It's hard. Are you content in your spiritual life? I had to really do some self-examination on that one. I stepped all over myself when I wrote that out. Are you content in your spiritual life? Are you content with your relationship with Christ? I'm not. I'm never good enough. There's always more I can do. As a sinner, I'll always be correcting myself and asking for forgiveness and trying to live like Christ and love like Christ. But I'm not content with just trying. It just feels like it's not enough. But look at Paul's answer. We'll go to the bottom part of the passage. Paul's answer to being content. He writes that the secret to his being content, being okay with everything he had to go through, was because he had a relationship with God. He had faith. Paul's life went from blessed to beaten, loved to hated, and yet he still found steadfastness in the Lord. He still found that rock-solid foundation. When everyone else has left him, God hasn't. It was his faith that secured his heart in the hard times, reminded him to give praise in the good ones. The last verse is my next focus, because that's something that people tend to look at a little differently sometimes. I can do all things through Christ or him who gives me strength. That's a beautiful verse. And it really is very powerful. But it's been changed. It's been used in so many places. I've seen it on coffee mugs, painted on walls, printed on t-shirts, designed on pallet wood through Etsy, printed out on a machine. I Googled the verse, and that returned 17 million results. For I can do all things. And it was the pictures. That was not just text. That was 17 million images of that. I've seen it in cursive and script writing. It's been attached to a superhero, put on a sports jersey, a football team. I saw even the news had a flag they were running down the field with that scripture. Just how many different ways. It's amazing that we can take that as a society and we've actually twisted that scripture. I know that's kind of hard to hear, but we've actually twisted it. We've been known to twist scripture a little bit. Preachers have twisted scriptures. We've seen them on TV. But I found myself drawn to this thought, and I couldn't seem to get away from it. We've become a society that has chopped off the last part. I can do all things, period. Guess what? No, we can't. I know that's hard to hear in today's society. No, we can't. We've told ourselves we can do anything we want at any time we want to. No, you can't. We've been told that everyone wins, everyone gets a trophy. No, you don't. People use this verse in sporting events to justify their winning. No, that was just good playing of the sports. I don't see a playbook of how to play football in this here. Or a playbook for baseball. They use it to empower themselves to do anything. And that's not what Paul was saying. I read somewhere that someone wrote this passage by itself gives a blank check promise to whatever is desired. Gives a blank check promise to whatever is desired. This passage is used by society to justify dreams coming true and financial status and jobs and educational opportunities and tests being passed. Just about anything we physically want. We tend to substitute the words all things for what we want in this life so we can glean some type of false hope for our achievements. For example, I can be an astronaut through Christ who strengthens me. No, I cannot. I can be an astronaut if I go to school for it and I'm smart in math and science. I can win this basketball game through Christ who strengthens me. No, I can win this basketball game if I score more points than the other team. I can buy this new car through Christ who strengthens me. No, I can buy a new car if I've got good credit and the money to pay the bills. The purpose of these words that Paul wrote was to give an answer to how he found contentment in his struggling life. It was complete contentment. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, every part of his being was content. The secret to being content in whatever circumstances we face is our faith in Christ who gives us strength. Paul was describing something deeper than just winning a ball game or starting a career or winning the lottery or buying something new. It's not about empowering ourselves to change our circumstances. It's about relying on God's power to get us through those circumstances. Sometimes we just can't change what happens, but we can change how we respond to it. Sometimes we cannot change what happens to us, but we can change how we respond. Psalm 37, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Later on it says, the blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither, and in times of famine, they will enjoy plenty. That's a hard pill to swallow, though. It's a hard life to swallow. But Paul was writing about divine sufficiency. He found that he can endure all things. All poverty, hunger, beatings, lashes, prison, words, hatefulness, everything. Because he had an unwavering belief in the power of Christ getting him through it. And I'd say he did it. I tell you, if you haven't realized this yet, but we're not self-sufficient. We're not built that way. We were not created to be self-sufficient in all things. Now, I can feed myself and I can read and I can study and I can grow my knowledge, but I can't save myself from death. I can't get myself into heaven. We set ourselves up for disappointment if we believe that we get all we want whenever we want it, however we want it, now. I'm sorry, but that's just not the way it is. We're spoiled. The physical world spoils us. There's more to life than getting what we want. Our purpose is to engage a loving relationship with God. We're to worship Him and to reap the blessings that He gives us and seek Him in the trials that we face. And share that message with others who are hurting. We will all face circumstances we think we just can't handle. Every one of us, every single person. And change comes in so many forms, and we have to face that sometimes. People will always doubt you. You will doubt others. You will doubt yourself. We'll mess up. We will definitely sin. We'll face things that we feel like we just don't have the energy to get through, because the devil is always whispering doubt in our ears, bringing that cloud of darkness, creeping in on us, tapping you on the shoulder. You can't do this. It's a lot worse than you think it is. That God ain't going to save you. Listen to when I say this. If you take nothing else more away this morning, nothing can take your salvation. Let me be real clear. Nothing and no one in this world or any other worlds that are created can take your salvation in Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot happen. It physically cannot happen. If you believe Christ is the source of strength in your life, you believe He died and rose again, you believe He sacrificed Himself for everyone, nothing can separate you from Him. And that's the message we take to others. We can share with that hurting neighbor, with that lost relative, that nothing can separate me. Look, I'm so happy that I have a love for my God. I love my Jesus, because He's your Jesus too. Paul found contentment. He found contentment after being tortured. You find contentment. It's there. The answers aren't always what we think they should be. The answers aren't always what we want them to be. But I promise you this. With your life placed into God's hands, receive that salvation and that healing power over your soul. You can survive, you can endure, and you can overcome anything this world wants to throw at you. You can tell that old devil to quit whispering in your ear and pushing that darkness away. It may not appear to us in the immediate. We may not get that answer right now like we want it, because we want answers right now. But in the end, when we stand before Him, we walk through heaven and we look at Him with a perfect spirit. We can actually say, I did all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen.
Thank you, Tommy. Let's conclude our worship service today by standing and singing hymn 231, verses 1 and 3, of Take the Name of Jesus With You.
Guide us and lead us as we go out as your disciples. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Have a great week.